On this day week, Friday the 29th, it's polling day in the general election. The polls will already be open. So this morning, Fine Gael leader Simon Harris joins us for the latest in our series of leaders' interviews. And good morning to you, Simon Harris.
Good morning, Anya.
As we were hearing earlier in the programme, one of the big issues for most voters is the cost of living. For instance, €1,000 more on groceries for most households than pre-COVID. Our energy bills, they're still 70% above the European average. Fuel, carbon tax hikes, they're all built in. Sinn Féin say they'll cut those carbon taxes, save 10 to 15 euro a fill. Doesn't that make sense?
It doesn't, because there's lots of different ways you need to deal with the cost of living crisis, and we've put forward a very comprehensive way. So can I say at the outset, Anya, I'm absolutely crystal clear from traversing this country that cost of living, call people what you will, squeeze middle, people who get up early in the morning, call them what you will, the cost of living crisis is real. It's acute, it hasn't gone away. And that's why my party, Fine Gael, is not just proposing one-off measures now. We're trying to look at how we can structurally reduce the cost of living more permanently. Okay. So can I give you just...
Let me ask you about that, because as I said, our energy prices are still amongst the highest in Europe. You have brought in energy credits again, although they're lower this year. IBEC says the next government should subsidise the price of energy for households and business in Ireland because it is, the cost is too high. Subsidise it till the price falls, will you?
Well, that's what we're doing. So if you think about it, the cost...
For businesses as well.
So we're already... So for small and medium businesses, my party has a 3-point plan. We're going to reduce the VAT rate permanently on food services, on catering, on basically the hospitality sector to 11%. We're going to provide...
And put up energy bills to 11%, the 11% rate.
We're really not, so let me just deal with that. We're going to provide a power-up grant next year worth about €4,000 to most businesses, and we're going to provide any company with fewer than 50 employees with a PRSI rebate for 3 years.
You're still going for the higher rebate, higher rate, and you're giving people more supports. Why not simply lower the price?
So specifically on the energy bills, because that's a very important issue. In our party's manifesto, we provide a rebate on VAT on all household energy bills. So we're going to help everybody with the cost of energy bills. We're going to permanently lower the rate of VAT on energy to 11%, and we're going to further bridge the gap with an energy rebate as well. But I have to say this, whether it's childcare costs, whether it's college fees, whether it's energy, whether it's the VAT on hospitality, we have a funded plan that will significantly reduce the cost of living for people.
Just before I move on to childcare, people before profit say price controls have worked, for instance, the minimum pricing for alcohol. So why not maximum prices for staple foods?
Because I think you'd come up against a number of very significant issues were you to do that. When I meet people across Ireland, they don't want to have an ideological debate about this. They want to know what you're going to do in the here and now to help them. And what I would say to them very respectfully is...
So you're saying that wouldn't work?
I don't believe so, but what I am saying would work is reducing the taxes that people pay, reducing the burden of the USC, reducing childcare costs, abolishing college fees, reducing the VAT on hospitality. These are practical measures that will make a difference in the here and now.
On childcare, your plan for 200 a month childcare to develop a state childcare system. So if somebody already has a child, they're already paying high levels of childcare, they can't afford or they can't find a place in a baby room, when will they be able to have that second child and use the 200 a month state provided childcare? What year? 26, 27, 25?
So the model my party is proposing is really looking at it from a two-pronged approach. There's many people who use private providers today and it works very well for them. They're needed. They're providing a very good service. We'll continue to support them.
Well, the private providers say your plan for state-owned provision, it would be very destabilising, and there's a lot of concern that if, for instance, you peg the pay rates of a public system to the primary school system, that would automatically close down a lot of private operators.
So I think it's very important that my plans don't get mixed up with the plans of other parties, because my party is not proposing a kind of abolishing private provision. We're proposing supporting the private providers and also intervening to provide more state-led places. The direct answer to your question...
And it wouldn't just destabilise the market for the private operators?
Not at all. Okay. No, not at all, because the direct answer to your question is that from next year, from the next budget, we can bring in the €200 per month per child. At the moment, childcare is like a second mortgage for many people. But I also know this, you're right to highlight the issue of access. It's cost
because and places are becoming places are as scarce as houses nearly.
It's a becoming a big, big issue. So two things we're going to do. Well, three things actually. We're going to extend the ECHI scheme, the number of hours your child is in early childcare by an hour each day. We're going to legislate for that so you have a legal right to that. We're going to reduce the cost to €200 per month per child in the next budget, and we can do it in the next budget. And we're also going to be more interventionist in terms of providing state places. And our manifesto is committing to opening at least least 100 state-led childcare providers Ireland over the lifetime of the government.
Over five years,
but starting immediately.
Your other plan, the Acorn Savings Plan, that would be €1,000 or 1,500 depending on the family circumstances per baby. Parents could add 2,000 a year to that savings scheme if they had the means. And there was a testy exchange between you and the Sinn Féin leader, Mary Lou McDonald, about this on the upfront debate the other night. But the question she was asking, what use is a savings account to the 4,561 homeless children in this state, homeless on your watch?
So what I believe about government is you have to be able to do more than one thing at a time. Those are two very, very important issues and both need to be dealt with. And I'd like to talk in detail about housing and how we assist in relation to housing and making sure everyone has a roof over their home. But on the Acorn scheme specifically, this is about making sure that when every child is born in this state for the first time ever in the history of our state, the state is setting aside a few bob for them. It's about putting in place a mechanism for parents to be able to top it up. You referenced the 2,000 euro.
Is a few bob the need when homelessness, 4,500... 61 children homeless, and the rate has gone up. What, 40% homelessness increase on Fine Gael's watch?
You've got to do both, Áine. You've got to do both. You've got to solve the housing crisis, but you've also got to recognise that there's many people watching this programme today who worry about when their child turns 18, who worries about the various costs that their child faces. Getting children off to a good start in life is an important thing to do. And what we're trying to do here is also create a mechanism. Many parents do this already. They try to squirrel away a little bit when they can, and it's not easy. But actually, by the state saying, we'll help you, we'll support you, we'll provide you with around 4% interest, that is a good thing to do. On child homelessness in general, I want to be very clear about this. I've met, whether it's Sister Stan, whether it's the Cork Penny Dinners, I want to see a change, and I'm very clear on this in our manifesto, in terms of how social houses are allocated. It is not right that we saw the highest number of social houses since the 1970s last year, and yet that didn't make an inroad in homelessness.
But,
I believe the allocation
the
process
criticisms
has to change.
That has been advanced by the Fiscal Advisory. For instance, the double child benefits, they're coming in this month and next. You're planning permanent double child benefit payments for back to school costs. The Fiscal Advisory Council has a serious problem with the level of non-targeted spending. Government has had expert recommendations that a second means test child benefit would lift 40,000 children out of poverty. Now, that would be more effective, perhaps not as politically popular. Is that why you're not doing it?
No, I want to do a second tier of child benefit. I'm very clear on that. And my manifesto says we're going to look at how we can do that. I have a child poverty unit set up in the Department of the Taoiseach. We're keeping that. The budget made a number of measures, number of very concrete measures that were welcomed by many working with children in relation to child poverty. But I've got to say this, Áine, there's people listening to this programme this morning. They're in their car, they're driving to work as well, and you know what? They reject the assertion that they don't need assistance from the government. They reject the assertion that they're doing all right. And they're saying to me on doorsteps, in main streets, in towns, villages and cities, can you give us a bit of help as well? And I do not apologise for saying that every parent in Ireland should get a double child benefit every August to help get the kids back to school and to help with the cost of children over the summer. We have to be able to do these things. And my party is doing all of this at a time when we're actually living within the Department of Finance spending ceilings
and setting
aside billions.
And the question is how your policies are working and the impact they have on the promises you're making.
Absolutely.
On housing, you say Help to Buy and the First Home schemes, that they're a red line for you and you plan to expand them. The CSO figures this week showed within the past year alone, house prices have gone up 10%. Now, the criticism that your policy, Help to Buy, First Home, that they are inflationary, isn't that proof right there that's true?
I don't believe it is. I think what is inflationary is the lack of supply. And obviously, we've made a lot of progress on supply. Fine Gael is putting forward a plan, a €40 billion housing plan to get to 303,000 new homes over the next 5 years. The central bank, for example, has looked at the Help to Buy scheme and it has acknowledged that actually the Help to Buy scheme has been crucial to many people buying their first home. And what I'm saying is this, Help to Buy and the First Home scheme, they're not perfect. They're
absolutely
not perfect.
People also, hasn't the data also shown that they are people who would probably have bought them anyway? And as far as I know, in the central bank data I was looking at, they were saying there was an increase, wasn't it, of over 80,000 between 2016 and 2020.
Yeah, but can I just
the argument is there and the numbers are there. For instance, Sinn Féin say if the issue is affordability, their 300,000 home, at least if the state owns the land, it may not be a scheme you'd like, but it does tackle the issue of affordability. So all your plans.
But how?
When are they going to make house prices more affordable? When are people going to see house prices going down?
As we get to 50 to 60,000 homes a year, and under my plans, plans published, well, every single year we're making progress. Every single week, 500 new people are buying their first home. The highest number of social houses were given to those most in need last last year since the 1970s. It's a higher number than any ever in my lifetime. We're seeing mortgage drawdowns
and
increase.
And so is the population. And clearly, whatever progress has been made has not been to the extent that we need.
But can I put forward...
Generation rent, one-third of the population under 40, only one-third own their own home. The opposition say this is the reason why your party, who've been there since 2011, should not be trusted with housing.
OK, you're going to allow me to make a point now, if you don't mind, because there's quite a few things there. So firstly, when you talk about my party's record since in the last 14 years, you say it as though it's a, you say it, or at least my political opponents say it, as though it's some cause of shame. I'm very proud of what my party has achieved over the last 14 years. And there is a context to all of this, whether it's picking the country up off the ground after the Troika, when the country didn't have a bean to its name, whether it's steering the country through Brexit, through COVID and through the greatest inflationary crisis. We are making real progress in relation to housing, but we have had to rebuild both the construction and the banking sector. We have 40 billion euro of a plan now to fix the housing situation for once and for all. But what I won't do in this election, being honest, is I won't pull the rug from under first-time buyers. The supports that are needed now, the Help to Buy and the First Home Scheme, while imperfect in some ways, they are necessary to bridge that gap you're rightly highlighting between the supply being built today and the supply that is needed. There are serious choices on the ballot next Friday in relation to housing, serious issues, and I still have serious issues in relation to the Sinn Féin housing plan, including would the banks even lend to people to get a mortgage if there isn't clarity over the land ownership issue.
Since 2020, you say you're proud of your record. Homelessness is up 41%. The average national rent is now 2,000 euro, if you can get a place to rent. House prices are up 30%, 37%, I should say. So that's your track record, the track record of the outgoing government. I mean, isn't that right there a reason to vote for change?
No, that's partially some of the facts in relation to the last number of years. There are also others. There are also the fact that we're seeing housing increase, that we're seeing more people buy their first home, that we're seeing more people have a job than ever, that we're living in a country in a really uncertain world where we've actually been able to help people with the cost of living. Look just across the water to where they've had to deliver a very different budgetary situation to the one we've delivered here, and where we now have a plan. But elections are always about the future. They're about what can you do for people over the next 5 years. I am a new leader, I am a new Taoiseach, and I have a plan for the future of this country and how we can take ourselves forward over the next 5 years.
Okay, and it's also about a choice between political parties. Fianna Fáil say they're the party turning housing around. They say, and it's been, you know, former Housing Minister Owen Murphy, he's on the record. He said Fine Gael wouldn't back him when he wanted to declare a housing emergency back in 2019. He wanted to force local authorities the bill. So given all of that, if housing is the issue, isn't Fianna Fáil the better bet?
No, I look, to be really honest, and I mean this very honestly, I think if any one political party thinks that the housing crisis can be solved by them alone or one personality within the government, that really misses the point. Housing needs everyone pulling together. And I'm very proud to lead a three-party coalition government where all three parties have played a positive role in trying to get housing to a better place. But like I say, this is not about looking backwards. This is about actually looking forward to where we can get our country. We now have both the money and the plan to be able to fix housing for once and for all. Of that, I am very confident.
Fianna Fáil also say they do a better job of justice in keeping people safe on the streets. There have been big promises from your party as well as others about Garda recruitment. The GRA, the Garda Representative Association, they're not impressed. They say the problem is poor pensions, low morale, stifling bureaucracy. Labour say Garda in Dublin are turning down overtime for fear of losing HAP payments.
Well, firstly, my party is the party that reopened the Templemore Garda College and got Garda recruitment going. And Helen McEntee, despite the undertone in some of the criticism towards her, has done a really sterling job in ramping up Garda recruitment. We have a funded plan in Fine Gael to recruit 6,000 more Gardaí over the next lifetime of the next government. But I have to be honest with people. If we just do business as usual, we're not going to reach that target.
Yeah, Patrick Cobain says more Irish people joined the police force in Australia last year than here.
What we have to do in relation to...
What does that say about where we're at?
Well, I'll tell you where we're at. We're at a situation where Templemore Garda College is now growing again. We've had to shut it twice because of the COVID pandemic. We now have serious numbers of guards coming out every 11 to 12 weeks. But if you want more people to get involved in an Garda Síochána, you do have to do things differently. You have to provide them with body cams to keep the Gardaí safe themselves. Because I'm very conscious when a guard goes out to work, they're often the only person that doesn't have a camera stuck in their face. The only person without a camera, excuse me, is the guard. We need to increase further the Garda training allowance. We've already nearly doubled it. We need to look, I think, at how we provide a security allowance for people who put on a uniform and do face challenges in terms of their own safety. And we need to look at a second Garda college to supplement Templemore.
Which Sinn Féin are also calling for. At the Children's Hospital, there was a moment in the upfront debate the other night, an odd moment where you said you didn't sign the contract. You approved as Minister for Health the first phase in 2017 and phase two in 2018. So the question is, did you okay a bad contract because you were looking for a political win?
No, but I was a bit pedantic and semantic the other night, to be clear. I suppose I was trying to make a broader point that before a decision goes to government, it goes...
That there were many hands involved in this. I mean, were you trying to kind of avoid responsibility? Because again, looking back on what happened and what we know about what happened since, that maybe if you hadn't been looking for the political win of we're going ahead, you'd have been more prudent, you'd have been more patient, there would have been different contracts, more specific designs, and the taxpayer could have been saved a fortune.
So firstly, just be very clear, the book stops with me. There's no evasion of accountability or anything like that. So we can just reject that assertion out of hand. Secondly, when we talk about patients, I mean, this is a hospital that was spoken about since before I was born. This was a hospital that we went through the entire Celtic Tiger. No one bothered to build one. There are parents who slept on a cold floor in Crumlin Hospital in Temple Street last night. This hospital has cost more than it should. That is true. But it is about the equivalent of 6 months'
payment. And there's a litany of broken promises from Fine Gael on its cost and its delivery.
Please, just one moment. This is important. It is the equivalent of about 6 months of the pandemic unemployment payment for a hospital that will serve the sickest children from right across Ireland for the next 100 years. People are going to be extraordinarily proud of it. It is a revolution in children's healthcare. But I'm also the only political leader in this election talking about a radical change to how we deliver mega infrastructure projects. I'm proposing a Department of Infrastructure because we do have challenges when it comes to delivering mega infrastructure and we need to build up the expertise in our public service.
I want to ask you about scoliosis, and of course there was the promise you made as Health Minister about no one waiting longer than 4 months. A promise that wasn't kept, a broken promise. There were reasons why, you say. You told Colette Fitzpatrick the other night, you think about those families every day. And of course, they live with the reality every day.
Yes.
That it is being addressed now, but there are many for whom they're now inoperable. You think about them every day. What lesson did that teach you about making political promises?
So I don't just think about them every day. I act on it every day, working with the Minister for Health. What I do know is passing on that commitment that I got from the HSE did result in a situation where...
Are you washing your hands again there?
No, I'm being very clear on this. I'm very clear. I asked the Director General of the HSE, what could we do in relation to scoliosis? And I got a note to say we could get the waiting times down to 4 months. I know that over 200 children were waiting over 4 months when that commitment was made. I know at the end of 2019, we had gotten it down to just over 30. 30 too many, but real progress. We are going to fix this issue for once and for all.
But we've outlined on
page, we've outlined on page 85 of our manifesto how we're going to do it. But I want people to know that the focus and the attention that was applied to scoliosis as a result of that commitment resulted in hundreds and hundreds more of the sickest children in Ireland getting access to healthcare.
When will John McGann, your candidate in Louth, speak about the violent incident he was involved in?
He's already spoken in relation to this, because this was obviously an issue that was discussed extensively at the time.
Will he be doing an interview? Will he be open and honest with voters before they go to the polls on Friday the 29th? Because there's been a lot about this recently that may have changed people's perspectives.
He's been very open and very honest in relation to it. And when you say there's a lot that may have changed people's perspectives, I'd respectfully suggest to people this. Firstly, I abhor violence. I don't in any way, shape or form condone
what
happened.
So was it a misjudgment to have him on the ticket?
No, because Along with absolutely abhorring violence, the criminal justice process and due process has to count for something in this country. There were only 12 men and women and one judge who sat down and looked at all of the CCTV footage.
That's got nothing to do with somebody's individual accountability. And also before the voters. I mean, the courts do their... Nobody is disputing the conclusion the courts came to, which is that he was an innocent man of a criminal charge.
Correct.
Nonetheless, there are questions there that... He could answer, will he do it before polling day?
He's already done media interviews
in
relation
to this.
I don't know whether he'll do more or not. But no, it's a very important point that shouldn't be brushed over. And I want
Would you like
this.
Him to?
I'd like to say this. If John McGahan was criminally convicted of assault or anything else, he wouldn't be running for my party. Not every leader in Dáil Éireann can say that. If there was a criminal conviction here, we'd be in a very different place. He was found not guilty of assault.
Immigration. Is Thornton Hall going to be an IPAS centre or a prison under Fine Gael?
There's potential to do both.
It's co-located.
It's a very, very large okay. site. We do need a new prison. We have outlined in our manifesto we intend to build a new prison, and I think Thornton Hall is the site for that. And I do believe also we should use a part of it, because we should use public lands in terms of migrant accommodation.
Two of your candidates in Longford West Meath have been critical of the government's decision to set up temporary accommodation for 1,000 male asylum seekers in Athlone. So is that decision going to be reviewed, as your candidates have called for? Is that Fine Gael policy?
I think the Fine Gael policy is this: we haven't been engaging with communities correctly in relation to migration. There's a very big difference between the far right, who I absolutely abhor and know all too well how divisive they are in this country, and people raising legitimate questions in their own community.
Which, if you let IPASS centres go through the planning system, people could legitimately do.
I think that is an interesting idea, but I think we also have to be very honest.
So would you back it?
I have an open mind on it, because we do need a new approach in relation to migration. Being very honest, Anya, the conversation about migration for the last number of years has been dominated by just one about accommodation. We actually need to look at migration in terms of all of the system. Accommodation is only the outworkings. Processing times, deportations, where people don't have a right to be here.
So is Athlone going ahead or not?
Athlone is going ahead. However, Athlone was always going ahead on a phased basis, and there needs to be further engagement with the community there in relation to it. We need to listen to communities. Irish people are decent, they're compassionate, but they do want common sense. And when people raise legitimate questions about what does an increase in population mean for my community, what does it mean in terms of public services, we should answer those questions.
You've been talking about a transatlantic trade shock risk. So here's the question, because, again, many voters absolutely bamboozled by the scale of the billions and the promises being made. So if there is that transatlantic trade shock, if corporation taxes fall, what's your absolute priority in all of those big promises? What will you, if you're back in government, deliver, no matter what?
Protecting the most vulnerable in our society. And that's why we have set aside a buffer. I mean, I want to make a point that my party has a plan that is going to help people in the here and now and invest in our services, but it's also set aside a very significant buffer, because the risk of a transatlantic trade shock, the risk of economic challenges to our country in the time ahead, has significantly risen in recent times.
And without corporation taxes, our lovely budget would be 6 or 7 billion.
And that's why my party is proudly saying, yes, we're going to invest more. Yes, we're going to help with cost of living, but we are going to continue to set aside money to make sure we have that buffer in relation to any economic shock, so we don't have to experience the austerity that past generations did.
Very quickly, two final questions. First, if you come back with fewer seats than Fianna Fáil, are you happy to serve as Taoiseach under Micheál Martin?
I don't answer any hypotheticals, because not one vote has been cast. My party is contesting this election to try and be the lead party in the next government. The coalition government's worked well, but I'm asking people to go out and vote for Fine Gael candidates across the country.
Would you be happy to be Taoiseach under Micheál Martin?
I'd be happy to be elected to the Dáil, and I'd be happy to maximise my seats. And I believe Fine Gael has an opportunity to be the largest party, and I'm asking people to give me an opportunity to continue as their Taoiseach.
And a final question. The news story about the ICC arrest warrant for Benjamin Netanyahu. If Benjamin Netanyahu were to land in Ireland, for whatever reason, would he be arrested?
Yes, absolutely. We support international courts and we apply their warrants.
Simon Harris, Fine Gael leader, thank you.